Okay.
Okay. So anyway, the fact is that so the Satmar Rebbe has writes in the Sefer a whole thing on how the building of the state of Israel, and the Gemara says that the Eibusha says that if you do transgress that oath, those oaths, then I will make your flesh, I will call open season on your flesh, like you'll be hunted down like game in the fields. So the Satmar Rebbe says that we see a clear link between the Zionist movement and the Holocaust, but because they transgressed these oaths, and God said that if you transgress these oaths, I will make your flesh open season on Jews, like the game of the field.
Yeah, but the Holocaust happened first, though.
No,
it was in the middle. It was in the height of the Zionist movement. The height of they had already started doing things against the British, and they had already started before World War II. They called a truce during World War II. During World War II, a lot of the Zionists joined the British battalions in order to fight Germany, the common enemy. Before World War II, there were many.
That wasn't why they fought for the British. They fought for the British to get training because they wanted to fight against the British forever.
Right, that was also a lot of it. But the fact is that that they had already started trying to throw out the British for long before the World War II started. And none of that to Deborah Shab referred to the fact that the Zionist movement was a transgression of the three oaths, as did the Free League of Rebbe in his time. And they also seem to link the Holocaust, that God forbid we shouldn't see the fulfillment of the rest of the statement in the Gemara. But there were those who said that after the fact, even if his shita was that something which came from people doing the wrong thing, even after the fact, you have to reject it totally and entirely. Because even after the fact there's already existing a state of Israel, you still have to reject its existence totally and entirely. And you have to do everything you can to try to get the Israelis to give it back to the Arabs, or at least to the UN. And you're not allowed to participate in any aspect of its governance, and you're not allowed to participate in any aspect of its recognizing its nationhood, and so on. And you're not allowed to in any way be melamed zchus on the people involved. So, without getting into all the details of his shita, which is not the shita of the Rebbeim, were much more extremely opposed to Zionism before the establishment of the state, and Zionism as a concept, as a messianic concept, was something that there was no person in the history of the world ever as opposed to as the Rebbe himself. And yet, at the same time, they felt that after the existence of a Jewish state was already a reality, then there is an Indian to, now that the fact is there is a gathering of Jews, whether you recognize the government per se, once there is a collection of Jews whose existence depends on their being strong and being able to withstand the attacks of the hostile world around them, you have to do everything you can to support the existence of that body of Jews. Even if it's being brought into existence was done in a manner which opposes the terror, the fact is once they are already there, you have to do everything you can that they should be strong and be able to protect itself and defend itself. And that when dealing with the individuals involved, there is an end to be melamed zchus on them. And even if we reject the shita, we reject the ideology behind it, okay, but we accept the reality of it, and we even try to find limud zchus on the people involved in it, on an individual level. And the fact that Rebbe very vocally insisted that every one of the people involved are going to do tshuva before they die, and are going to realize the mistake of their ways before they die. And there's a famous minister in Israel who answered the Rebbe in Yechidus, I can accept what you're saying about all the guys. Avalom Azaken. Azaken, they used to call Ben Gurion, the old man. The old man is never gonna. Some of the other guys I could see, you know. But one day they might wake up and kick themselves and say, you know, if we would have held on to our Jewish heritage, if we would have held on to our Yiddishkeit, things would have been better. I could hear that. That they're gonna have a moment of. But not Ben Gurion. The guy recorded his Yechidus. He writes that the Rebbe said to him, was Adir, as I have echt Shuvatan. The Rebbe says, what does it bother you if he will fill the Shuva also? And he kept saying, no, I can't, no, he can't. For him it can't be. And the Rebbe says, what do you care if he will be? And the Rebbe just, and he saw the Rebbe's not backing down, so he stopped. I mean, the Rebbe just did not back down. And they say that there was that Ben Gurion gave an interview in the last weeks of his life. He gave an interview and it was splashed all over the Israeli press. In which he expressed, he said that our biggest mistake was that we went away from the Tanakh and we went away from the. We went away from the Tanakh and we went away from the tradition. And he sees now that if we would have stuck to the tradition. You know, and he says, I would also, if I was younger and I thought people would listen to me, I would also advocate a different approach, more grounded in tradition and in religion and in Tanakh. But, so that's just an interesting sidebar. But the fact is, so people were quoting, what do you mean? The Baal Shem Tov, the Bardichev, the Reb Lev Yitzchak Bardichev, these people were known to find positive things about even the worst sinners. So in response to that, he says, the teachings of Baal Shem Tov were not just the way you read it in the books. So that's what he said. And I said, well, in order to appreciate what Baal Shem Tov was talking about, you have to be on a very high level, a high spiritual being, and da da da. And you're just looking at this farm, you can see it wasn't written for every man. It was written for very high spiritual beings. And therefore, who are we to try to emulate them? And say, what we know is that you have to stay away from the wicked, and you can't even do it the wicked, and you have to run away from the wicked, and the wicked, and the wicked, and the wicked. So that's where he was trying to knock, you know, say that Hasidus, to try to get a historical perspective based on the Hasidic approach of many great tzaddikim to find limud zchus on even the most wicked people. He felt that was not appropriate. It's Mashiach and the Rebbe Emel that it was. I mean, after the fact, before the fact, you see the writings of the Rebbe Rashab and the Friedrich Rebbe, fire and brimstone. The Rebbe Rashab, you look in Kuntres Amayin over there, that whole in the Akdamah to Kuntres Amayin, that whole thing from the Rebbe Rashab that says these mamish nothing positive about. There was a guy who asked the Rebbe Rashab, at least a positive Hebrew, Israel, Jewish thing. And then Rashab said, there's nothing positive about them whatsoever. And he gives a whole explanation that there's nothing positive. That's before the fact. It's in the introduction to Kuntres Amayin. The Friedrich Rebbe gives a background of what was going on at the time. He gives it to try to set the stage, to appreciate what the times that people were living in when the Rebbe Rashab gave out this Kuntres. So he brings there some of the things that were going on the political scene, on the Jewish scene, on the, you know, what the Jewish scene was like at the time. So he goes through this thing about the Zionists. But after the fact, the Rebbe always said, good, you're right. But after the fact, stuff goes off their head, the Jews and the...
Wasn't one of the first Zionist congresses about the same time as the foundation of the...
The first Zionist what?
Wasn't one of the first Zionist congresses about the same time as the foundation of the Yeshiva?
Well, they had made something which ended up being a forerunner for Zionism. They made something called the Vad Mefitzei Haskola in Russia, which was a group of different people with backgrounds in Haskola that approached the Russian government and got permission to actually start establishing schools all over Russia. They got a lot of funding from the Western. They got funding from the Western Maskilo. You know, Germany and so on. They got a lot of funding from France and Germany, and they were bringing to Eastern Europe. Not that before, at that period, they brought all over the world. The Alliance, which was based in France, brought to all the North African countries, which were totally from. I mean, they were 100% from Morocco and all these places. Europe was already, you know, even though the majority was from, but there was still already a strong Nazi threat. They came and they brought these Haskalah schools all over the world, spread them all over the world.
How did you have religious Zionists then? If there are these three oaths, and there's so much opposition, how do you have...
So the religious Zionists basically tend to argue that the oaths don't apply, and there's a Reb Chaim Vital that indicates that the oaths were only applied for 1,000 years. There's other sources which seem to say that the oaths are not recorded. The oaths are not recorded in any halachic work. And the Rambam wrote about all the halachas, and he didn't bring the oaths, so the oaths are not halacha, the oaths are not this. So a lot of different arguments that the religious Zionists give in order to avoid the issue of the oaths. But the Rabbeim seem to think that the oaths were very serious business and not open for reinterpretation. The Rebbe Rashab and the Friedrich Rebbe. The Rebbe Rashab writes very strongly about the three of them. He writes, God forbid we shouldn't live to see their dream fulfilled. That's what he said.
What dream?
Zionist dream. God forbid we shouldn't live to see the...
Before the state of Israel.
Yeah, sure. God forbid we shouldn't live to see their dream to see their dream fulfilled, because who can even begin to imagine the suffering that the Jewish people endure as a result of that.
But what suffering did we endure?
What?
What suffering did we endure as a result of that?
No,
obviously he's linking the Holocaust, obviously he's linking what happened in Europe to the fact that Jews were, instead of following God's plan for redemption, tried to make their own alternate plan for redemption. And instead they got an alternate...
Punch.
What was it? They got the ultimate slap in the head.
What do we want to do about next week?
Should we
learn
to
next week? Tomorrow night we're not learning.
We're
about next Tuesday and Wednesday.
Let me say this. I don't know. I have to help out at home. I want to shut up.
That's it.